Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Anybody in Memphis is ready for back of play-in, restarting lottery, you know, all right, of this over right. Again. That's starting over.
Well, and you kind of got out.
John Morant's ready for that.
The game now, and I think it was Jeffrey and Jeff sort of talked about the new NBA where it's you need guys on contracts like Dylan Brooks, like Houston did. That was a smart move for them because they got Dylan Brooks on that deal and Memphis gave up on him and went with Marcus Smart instead and made a different trade. But in that deal, they paid him a really good salary, enough substance that he could become a piece where they got better. They got better in year one, and then in year two, they got Kevin Durant. And then, like,
Houston's going all in. They're not waiting around on the other guys to develop while they've got some good pieces or whatever else.
No, they're saying,
bring in Kevin Durant. Memphis decided not to do that.
That's right.
Now, you can say, okay, well, superstars are going to come here, whether it's small market they never come, right. Whether it's crime, whatever else. But the point would be,
I don't believe
you didn't get that kind of move done.
Yeah.
You decide to go the other right, the economical route. Brad, if you don't bounce back and get to something that looks like top four within a couple of years again, which is where you were as recently as, you know, middle of last year, 35-16 there at one point, if you don't get back to that, folks are going to sour on this thing real fast.
I agree.
Again, selling hope is going to be tough to do. You're going to all of a sudden have to look and say, you know what? We'll have two first-round picks. We'll have two maybe lottery picks next year. You know, folks aren't going to want to buy that when they feel like, Brad, they were so close.
Yes.
They were just so close to really competing in the West.
Which is, if you bring this all the way back to your...
bad spot to be.
If you bring it back to your summer league conversation you started with, that's exactly why it's so important. You need Cowher to hit. You need these young guys to hit.
That's unfortunate he's not playing.
I know. I mean, you hit on Jalen Wells. You just hope he doesn't...
I like Jalen Wells. I'd like him deeper back in my rotation. That's where I'd like him even better if I'm truly going to be one of those teams. But in the end... Dude, if Jalen Wells is the best you got at the three, you know where you're going to be? You're going to be playing.
Right.
You're going to be playing lottery. I'm afraid
that's... You're exactly
love
right.
Love him to death.
You need him in your rotation,
you
not on your
higher
starting.
Higher ceiling guys now that Bagan is out.
Right.
You know what KCP is. I mean, you got John and Jaren. You're trying to find new ways to win around those guys. I want all those guys. I want all of them playing, frankly, and seeing how high the ceilings are. Hopefully, Jalen Wells... continues to show us he's got maybe a higher ceiling.
And no more injuries. No more injuries. Like the preseason injuries are very disturbing.
I'm just saying, that would help, but they're going down when they're playing either live, when they're playing summer league, when they're whatever else, just working out, Zach, or whatever else. Let's just play ball. Yes, everybody wrap your damn ankles. Wear some high tops.
Nick
Van Exel says it's lows.
He
man.
Said too many whatever of them were wearing those low tops.
Y'all
That's part
some,
of the problem.
Get some of them Kobe high tops. Everybody loves Kobe's anyway. I've seen some high tops out there. We got a lot more to do. Won't all just be basketball day, although we have to at some point talk about this Clippers, Jazz, and Heat deal that's got Norman Powell now in Miami. I'll have to recalibrate there, leaving the Clippers. John Collins is now a Clipper. Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson, they go to Utah. We talked about that Kevin Durant trade is official. A lot more to do on the other side. Two more hours. Respect Burgers at 1, Jeff Calkins, 125. Plenty more. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. Awesome, Grizz. News, nuts and bolts before we move on to the rest of the NBA. A little bit of a reset. They did move on officially from Jay Huff, traded him to the Pacers for a second-round pick and one second-round pick swapped. Huff, who'll be 27 in August, young, Yes, and there were some good numbers. Shot 40% from three on 3.1 attempts, 11.7 minutes. We loved the reverse dunks. We absolutely loved some of the highlights. And there were a lot of them, particularly, and there were a ton of those reverse dunks. What he lacked, though, was sort of that physicality that the Grizzlies have shown they need, and they've we'll get to why they've continued to show that in who they've added since Huff. But a salute to Jay Huff. Again, we mentioned it, just one of 3 7-footers to shoot 40% on three-pointers while taking at least 200 attempts. Only Karl Anthony Towns and Kristaps Porzingis can claim that. I mean, it's kind of crazy that Jay Huff's in a category that's got those two in it. He also ranked 24th in field goal percentage allowed on layups and dunks last season among 90 players in contest at least 30 shots per Genius IQ. So the numbers, those, would suggest he's a solid defensive player. That said, not in your system. He was once the G League's Defensive Player of the Year, did average 2.7 blocks in 36 minutes. But clearly, if he had been this presence and this physical force, Grizzlies would have been keeping him as opposed to, because you already had him on contract, and had converted him from a two-way deal as opposed to deciding to move on from him. So Pacers get him. We've mentioned it. We did first hour. Like the situation for him there, obviously with Miles Turner gone. And then in the related move, you go out and you get free agent center Jock Landale. We will at some point, I suppose, get the particulars on that deal. But here's a number that's impressive, and ESPN pointed this out. Grizzlies set more on-ball screens under Tomas Isolo compared with Taylor Jenkins, which we knew. Remember that he put Zach Edey right back in the starting lineup. They went right back to it. The weird thing, oddly, was why Taylor Jenkins decided to part with, you know, to pair with Noah LaRoche and go away from it when you knew it's the best thing for John Morant. Back to it. According to Genius IQ, Landale ranked third in on-ball screens set per 100 possessions among players to set at least 500 on-ball screens. He recorded career highs in field goal percentage and three-point field goal percentage last season. Drew Hill also had it. He rebounded over 10% of Houston's offensive misses when he was on the floor. His offensive rebounding percentage ranks in the top 75 of all bigs last season. So he fits a very specific type, and it's the type that we said you needed more of, not just with Zach Edey out, we believe, to start the year, obviously with the ankle injury, but I think, too, even for when Zach Edey's back. You still want this depth because you're not going to change your style when Zach Edey is off the floor. And in a lot of ways, that's what you had to do, whether it was Jay Huff or one of these other bigs who could not set the screens, who could not necessarily be the great rebounder you need at that position. They are hoping, in this case, that Landale is. So I think Brad and I are both on board with the signing. Again, how good this guy's going to be, I'm not willing to bank on it, so much so that I'm leaving one of those two ways. You've got three of them now. I'm leaving one of them open, as Chris Harrington sort of speculated you should do. And if there's something that I like in summer league on another team, much like I liked Jay Huff last year, yeah, I'm going to grab that because I still think you need some depth there. You didn't add depth. Some wrote you solidified the front court. I don't think it's solid yet. I'd still like to see another body in there. And we'll see what you do, but you're still on 16 with Cole Anthony. You know, that one lingering as the 16th. And so if you're gonna move off a guy, if you're gonna bring a guy in, you got to move off one like they've done for Huff. They bring in Landale. He looks to fit the part. We like the movement there. We mentioned it. It's official now that you've got Meshack in. He comes over from the Warriors. The Grizzlies obviously acquired the draft rights to him. That did not become official until yesterday. Hopefully, we'll get a chance to see him pretty quickly in Salt Lake City, as the Grizzlies take on the Jazz tonight. That's an 8 p.m. game. ESPN Plus, NBA TV, both showing that. We've mentioned it for the Grizzlies. Do you sit Jalen Wells after 20 from him and 20 from G.G. Jackson? Do you sit him down and say, you know what, we'll just wait till Vegas? You got a couple of more left here in Salt Lake City. We don't need to see any more of you. We'll take a look at one of our other guys. Or do you keep him playing? We sort of discussed that first hour. I'm fine if Jalen Wells plays. I'm not going to say, oh, boy, the Grizzlies are taking some chance here. I just think the more minutes those guys can get, if nothing else, under Tomas Isolo, the better. Not that he can't listen to language and know and hear what Tomas expects sitting behind the bench in bubble wrap, and I get it, wanting to play it safe, especially with as much PTSD as we've got around here when it comes to injuries, but I'm playing all of these guys because, as we talked about, your win total is 40.5 next year. We can sit up here and slow play this thing and say, okay, let's develop everybody slowly, or we can play basketball. Brad and I's point, you're going to get hurt whether you're working out or not, as we've seen with Jaren Jackson Jr. and Zach Edey. So why not just play these guys? Hopefully they're playing tonight because you're going to need somebody to hold Ace Bailey. But Brad and I both feel like he's going to take 30 shots tonight. He's going to try to beat Kobe Mamba because probably all he's heard is how much Edgecombe shined as a rookie in summer league. VJ Edgecombe in the game as the third overall pick had 28 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks in their loss, yes, to Utah. But in this case, Bailey, who we talked about it, you know, big stink about whether or not he wanted to go to Utah. He eventually got there. You know, they sort of put the guns down in terms of having any problem going to Utah. That's a figure of speech, obviously, in a poor phrasing, I should say. No guns with Bailey. 3 of 13 he was in that game, 25 minutes. So he's probably been hearing it, you would imagine. Be nice if the Grizzlies had, you know, a Jalen Wells to put on him tonight. But perhaps you've decided to sit him for when the summer league starts on Friday. But that's I think that rounds it up in terms of the Grizzlies, what happened while we were gone. We'll get a chance to get some eyes on him again tonight. And then we'll get John in here with his hot takes, see how Jalen Wells and those guys are looking for tomorrow. All right, this was the big one this morning. Thought we were going to be talking, you know, about the Kevin Durant deal getting finalized. I'm glad we're not because, again, we've talked about what that means for Houston a ton, and we don't need to go breaking down each of those individual 7 teams and what each was done. I think even the Meshack thing was part of that. Back to the point, what came this morning, Norman Powell is now a Miami Heat player. The Clippers guard, who's coming off his best season, 32 years old, a key thing, extension eligible, entering the final year of his $20.4 million deal, and the Clippers didn't want to give him the extension at this age. I think it's, you know, as much about that as anything else. He's now going to be with the offensively challenged Miami Heat. That makes sense. John Collins, who, you know, still young, 27 years old, 6'9 forward, 19 points and 8.2 rebounds in 40 games for the Jazz last season. Remember him as a Atlanta Hawk as well, is entering the final year of his contract at $26.5 million. Many would tell you that they have lacked that kind of player, and they have. I mean, they got a bunch of, you know, wings, Kawhis, the Norman Powells, the James Hardens, that they have lacked the player of Collins' sort of ilk the entire time. It's been one of the things that, you know, hadn't gotten one of the reasons the Clippers hadn't been able to get over the hump. I would stop short of that. I like John Collins a lot. I think he brings probably a much of what they need to the table. But, you know, to say that this is going to put the Clippers in some new position in the West, no, I still like what Denver did better, still like what the Rockets have done better, and you're obviously going to have OKC right there at the top. Again, here's the deal. For Miami, I don't know. I mean, you know, Powell's 32 years old, and this isn't the you know, this can't be the down-the-road fix for Miami. He's not the guy now. What they got with Wiggins? You know, they just got a bunch of parts. They don't have anything yet that starts to look like, you know, foundational pieces for them. And Powell at 32 years old, I can't imagine him being one for long. Now, maybe Pat Riley will, you know, flip this and go out and get and pull Giannis. I just can't see it happening. They don't look like they're built right now to add a superstar. And Miami, a Miami basketball team that is not competing for titles, not competing for at least Eastern Conference championships, I don't know how into it that fan base is going to be because that's what they expect under Pat Riley. So I'm still sort of waiting for Miami. Does that, you know, do they eventually get Dame Lillard? Well, that's going to be a year from now. Yeah. If Dame Lillard can get back from the injury, you know, he's trying to come back from Milwaukee was fine with having all that dead cap money, that fine with moving on from him. What's he going to be like when he gets back? And is that even an answer for Miami at that point in his career? Remember, that's where he wanted to go originally, it seemed like, out of Portland. So if that's an option, it's not one that I'm buying either. So I'm not sure that I get it from the Miami standpoint. And then Kevin Love, Kyle Anderson heading, in this case, heading over to Utah. Poor Kyle Anderson. That's all I can say. We mentioned it. Utah's got an 18.5 win-loss total, the total that we looked at this morning. It's going to be a long road for them. Harrington mentioned throwing him a life raft. And,
I saw
and,
this, yeah.
And asking, you know, bringing him back home. Bringing him back here. When I say home, I mean back to Memphis. It certainly was home at one point for Kyle Anderson. Former UCLA guy?
Yes.
I'm not mistaken.
Who do you trade for him? Do you get rid of Conchar, or do you use that Cole Anthony deal?
He's making 9. I know Conchar 6. Seems like that'd be fine.
Cole Anthony?
Cole Anthony, you could go up from his.
Yeah.
What is it, 12, and you can go up to 20 or whatever it is? I mean, that one to me still, I'm still hoping you'd have to cut somebody loose.
Yeah.
Because you've got 16 right now. If, with
you're going to have to get rid of him.
With young Jock on. Right. Somebody's got a role. I thought we were going to be doing the stretch thing for Cole.
Just wave him and try to eat the money a little bit.
For Cole Anthony at some point. Feel like now, not to the.
I think they're going to have to eventually, but they're probably still trying to shop it.
And like I mentioned, maybe you keep the one two-way spot open, but in terms of the standard contracts, you are full. Somebody else is going to have to go. You can't just trade Cole Anthony. You would have 16 guys if you're bringing back somebody for him. So we'll see what they do. Norman Powell, again, a year where he was an all-star candidate, probably got snubbed and should have been one. In this case, headed down to Miami. He'll get a lot of shots down there, but it looks like a step back for him in terms of, you know, what you expected. And the Clippers at one point, I thought could make a deep run in these playoffs. I never should have banked on James Harden. At that point. But in that case, that was the big news in terms of the NBA this morning. Here's some other news that we had mentioned a little bit earlier on this hour, and maybe as it relates to that Dallas win-loss total that you might find a little low at 39.5 based on what we were sort of expecting from them next year. And that was even with, the expectation that Kyrie Irving would miss a good portion of the season. But the key word there is good. Not the entire regular season. And over the break at some point, a recent stream, Irving responded to a fan asking if he would be back to the playoffs. He was very upfront about it and said, "Don't hold your breath on that. Doesn't mean that I won't be back. I don't want to make any predictions on when I'm going to come back. I just want to be back 150,000% better." And so you just it had a few folks in Dallas scrambling a little bit, thinking, okay, well, maybe this D'Angelo, Russell hire, addition that they've made going to be for a little bit longer than they thought. And perhaps, we kind of talked about it, maybe by the time they got to the playoffs next year, they'd be a real threat. If you had AD, if you had Cooper Flagg sort of settled in, you've got all these bigs still, feels like, Lively, Gafford, all of them are still there. Still got P.J. Washington.
Yep.
Feels like, so it felt, maybe there's a chance to immediately be right in the thick of things next year. But that was always assuming Kyrie Irving would be able to get back at some point next season. If he's out for all of next year, and perhaps that's why we're seeing some of the numbers in terms of win total so low, boy, does that change the calculus for Dallas. That's a little bit on further down the road. Well, Kyrie's going to be a little bit older at that point if he's missing all of last year. I'm gonna still lean toward he's back. He's just trying to sort of play it safe here. And not not to make any sort of guarantees or anything else.
Probably smart.
What do you think?
Well, probably smart. And also, there's no hurry because he already got paid personally.
Right.
I mean, the deal is he got his money. They stretched it over different years, and they gave him a new deal, and they ripped up the old one. But my thing is, even with like Klay Thompson and some of these players, now granted, they're older.
Klay's the other guy. He's still there. That's right.
Yeah, I mean, they've got scoring. So I still think they're better than the Grizzlies.
Kyrie Irving does have to be careful because of his age. He can't push this so fast and so, he's 33 years old. He can't push this so hard and so fast trying to get back and trying to get Dallas back in the title hunt that you come back too early.
Right.
And you end up doing more damage to it and maybe prematurely ending any real, real chance, promise of being the kind of guard that can still lead, in this case, lead a team to a title, especially coming out of the West,
right?
The way things are at that age. And so maybe he does, again, at that age, have to make sure and that you do take the full year.
That it's all good.
Maybe you do.
Yeah.
Just because, and like you said, the other key part of it, well, you have nothing to prove because financially you're fine.
You're good.
You've just gotten the contract extension.
Yeah.
And so your money's good. You're not in a contract year where you had to prove something, get back fast to prove it to somebody.
And they probably said that to him. Like, hey, we'll let a little less each year, but let's redo this deal, and you can just take it as it goes.
Nico could have easily said something like that. We would rather have you make sure you're 150,000%.
Year two of Cooper.
And we'll take
and
the run. Just be careful, though, banking on Anthony Davis and holding up for any consistent period of time.
That's fair.
That's the thing about that, And then, we'll see. The very thin margin for error with those two players, particularly as it relates to injury. And if Kyrie Irving's out for a whole season next year, well, they won't be a true contender, can still be competitive.
Right.
I think still be better than the 39.5.
I think so.
One lower than the Grizzlies, or one lower than the Grizzlies that we talked about this morning. But that said, I don't think they're a Western Conference title contender without Kyrie Irving. Got another one. Ja Morant. We've talked about him. We've talked about the need that he play 65-plus games for the Memphis Grizzlies next season. We're all hopeful that he can. This offseason, he's going to be on tour. The Make Them Watch tour that was announced by Nike is going to be all over. And when we say Ja's global, it really is. It'll start, and we will talk a little bit later on this week, hopefully, with Norton Hurd IV, who's going to be at the Peach Jam starting this week. I think their first pool play game. You'll play a few pool play games before you go to championship play. And Ja's world tour kicks off there. Going to be dropping, I think, one of these Ja 3 new releases. You know, we're on the Ja 2s, still in Ja 2 season. That's what some of the Kool-Aid Ja's, those were still 2s. But we've seen the new 3s. We've seen these new 3s, the new version of them. He had a version of them on earlier this year, and I think they'll have an EYBL version. After that, he goes to New York City. And then to go, when we say global, on to China, July 25th through 30th. It's going to be a busy month for him.
So explain the pigeons. Is that just an expression of traveling? Is that what the pigeons are in the video for this thing?
The pigeons thing, I did not pick up on, or whether or not that was a...
You know, they're in the video, Make Them Watch, and I saw the tour thing, and I didn't put it all together.
Well, remember, he called the, you know, and Gigi kind of let the cat out of the bag. It's what pigeons is sort of how we refer to as, as that defensive...
Yeah.
But I'm not, again, I haven't seen that part. I saw it. I didn't have the sound up. Yeah. It looked a little artsy. I just saw the stops in terms of locations. I did not understand the meaning of the pigeons.
And there's a guy
although
talking.
I will say, yeah. Can you play it? As long as there's no cursing, if there's a guy talking, perhaps he explains
I can get the video here. And here are the pigeons. Come in soon.
Can we get 12 on the line? We got pigeon problems again.
Can I get 12 on the line? I got pigeon problems again.
Pigeon problems.
Pigeon problems.
Who was the pigeon? Who was his pigeon? Remember, Gigi Jackson came and
wasn't it Steph Curry? I think he mentioned Steph Curry because they were talking about
the Warriors.
Well,
that's who Gigi did. Gigi mentioned Steph and some of the best players in the world being pigeons. I think you want to say he said Jokic too.
Yeah.
But there was a game. No, after the game, I want to say I think it was with Malika that he was doing a post game interview and called somebody that he had made the move on a pigeon. Supposing.
That was
this
podcast
from that.
Was that the podcast with Chandler Parsons and he mentioned pigeons and he went
that into, was Gigi Jackson.
That
that's
was
what
Gigi,
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Gigi referring to what the Grizzlies call their defensive target in their game plan. Jaws was different. Jaws
came
before he called somebody a pigeon. We didn't know that that was part of their defensive language, part of what they used.
I remember
Gigi,
the Ja one now. You're
Gigi
right.
Did
it, it was two separate ones.
Two separate ones. Ja was first, though, in terms of saying it. And you know, whether it's the New York vibe, he'll be there on July 22nd, or, we're having pigeon problems because these guys are trying to hold a – I think Connor knows which pigeon.
Pigeons means weaker defender.
It's part of their language. Yeah, they let that cat out of the bag.
He called
Wear
a pigeon after hitting a game winner on him.
It was Wear on Miami.
Connor Dunning, thank you.
Appreciate it, Connor.
Connor's got it.
No, he's a library when it comes to the Grizzlies. July 25th through 30, he'll be in China.
Pigeon tour.
Cities at this point unspecified. Nike's smart the way they lean into,
they find any like little hole for the marketing.
It was on the back of his ingredients thing for the Kool-Aid things. It said, controversy, slight, occasionally, as long as it was, as well as the other ingredients. Like, they've been very smart about laying into it. These shoes have gone quick. I like the way they've kind of played for now, and they can, right, with some of Ja's, as you could say, flaws in terms of whatever controversy brings to the table. Like we said, man, the dude does the celly. He does the whatever you want to call it.
Oh, the bomb, the grenade thing.
Thing if you want to
it's
call
taken
it words
off.
Or whatever
it's everywhere
it is.
Now.
It went worldwide, and that's why Nike's. They see that and they say, "Of course, let's take them to China. Let's take them to Tokyo." You've got dudes, doing it in soccer leagues,
Major
all
League
over the
Baseball,
world. Major League Baseball. That's what I'm saying. All he has to do is, just make a gesture, and it goes worldwide. Nike's recognized that, and there's an opportunity here that's got to be global in terms of as a marketing brand for Nike.
No doubt.
And, it's all there for him to have. China, and then it hits Tokyo, and then it'll go to the Philippines. So I'm not sure that it'll be it's called the Make Them Watch Tour. Sounds like they should be calling it the Pigeon Tour. And the stop in New York, as Drew points out, is going to take place at Nike's annual New York versus New York tournament. So they're doing it at hot times, you know, when the basketball's already going on in these cities, much like they capitalized on the EYBL stop that was here in Memphis when he dropped the Kool-Aid, a version of them there. So worldwide tour for John Morant, pretty busy July. I'm about, you know, you can't be in a gym with Jaren Jackson doing pick and roll right now anyway, because the guys, Jaren Jackson got turf toe. So I guess traveling the world and all that's all right. Hopefully he's getting plenty of workouts in, and you know what? Adding 5-10 pounds to that frame,
that would help.
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind if he did that as well. Again, it doesn't matter about changing your game in the off season and shooting more mid range shots if you're not going to do it in the regular season. Hopefully that's all a part of it. Right now he's all about that business. I'm not going to hate on him. He's getting his money in July on the tour with Nike. We wish him safe travels. All right, I mentioned this, that they should shut it down if it's not going to be close, and it wasn't particularly close for Joey Chestnut in the hot dog eating contest, Nathan's famous hot dog eating contest over the weekend. Chestnut wins again. The closest competitor ate 46 and a half, Brad. He had 70.
Blew him away.
70 and a half. So that's something that, I mean, so there's no need for the camera to even focus in on any of the other competitors because Joey's so far ahead. So I'm not, you know, again, not hating on Nathan's and what they've got going. A lot of people come out for these. But if it's not, if you don't have the Kobayashi type, if you don't have the rival out there to give them a push, it's not, is it still a sport? I guess it was still a sport when Tiger was dominating, when, I mean, you know, guys dominate what they're doing, and maybe they're 15, 16 strokes ahead. In this case, what is it, 23 and a half hot dogs ahead. You know, yeah, it's still a sport in golf, so why should it not still be a sport here, Jason? But it's just, number one, it's disgusting. And number two, I looked at the women's side, and she didn't have anybody close to her either. It's just pigs eating slop.
The reason why that Chestnut will continue to do this is because of the money, because he had that endorsement deal last year with Impossible Foods. Nathan's was not his endorsement. So he couldn't be in the Nathan's.
Did not participate because of the contract dispute last year.
So now he's back in, and he signed a 3-year contract with Nathan's. So basically, he's the face of Nathan's hot dogs.
Well, in 21, he set the world record at 76. This year, he had 70 and a half. So what you're going to see at this point in his career is a stepping back. He's not going to be able to ever get the 76, 75, you know, maybe even not the 74. He put up 74 in 2018, Brad.
Damn.
It's now 2025. He's at 70 and a half. Last time he competed, you mentioned he was out in 24 and 23. He did 62.
Yeah.
So my point is those numbers are coming down.
We're dropping.
He's only and maybe, well, you say, well, Jason, that means he's going to come back close to the pack, and maybe you actually got a competition. Mm. You're just going to see him fall off. Nobody wants to see him.
We're not going
to
see his prime. Like, are you going to put him to pasture, Jason?
It's like
Jason?
Watching Jordan as a wizard.
Oh, no.
Nobody thought, oh, well, now Jordan's closer to the pack, so this is more competitive. I like watching it. Nobody wants to watch Joey when he's not in his prime, and what we're going to be witnessing is his falling off over the next few years.
Well, Jason, as
that's why
somebody
should shut this down.
The man on the radio station who basically is the shutdown expert, whether it's Red Panda, whether it's Jerry Lawler, our guy from Game Day,
Lee Corso.
Thank you. I almost forgot about Lee. You are the arbiter. You're basically the arbiter when it is time to end the reign. So what you are you making a determination?
Are you
making a ruling?
He's 41.
I mean, I would think 40 would be a top man. Can you imagine what that bowel movement's going to be like, too, man? That's hurt.
It's something he's dealt with for years.
Yeah,
so
that's a tough one.
It's not something that slows him down.
You think
whatsoever.
You need to shut it down?
No, 41 in hot dog eating years though is much older.
Oh
I
yeah,
guarantee.
That's like it's like dog years.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so
hot dog years.
I've already noted how the numbers are coming down.
Yeah.
Again, overall, will he ever get back to the
76.
To the form that saw him?
We'll
set that record, 76, in 2021? Likely not.
No.
But Nathan's, to your point, will keep selling, hey, let's see Joey, you know, go break.
Yeah.
Because they can't sell competition here. They can't sell competition here. He's pretty amazing. At this point, he's eaten 1,284 and a half hot dogs in the 20 appearances in Nathan's.
Yeah.
You know, that's 1,200 hot dogs. That's good for 64.2 per appearance, a number that's, and I heard Calkins break it down by a minute. Yeah. That's seven hot dogs a minute.
Yeah.
You imagine that?
It's I always
what
think
that does,
of,
to,
what
your
that does
jaws
to your innards,
and then, but then
your insides. It does serious damage, and you have to be a trained inside for your internals to hang on to that.
Did you watch it?
I did. Can we play the intro? Because it's one of the most magnificent parts of this.
Now, that's the only reason I would say don't cancel the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is because of this host and his intro.
This yes. is if I can get it.
We are humbled by age in preparation for the great insult of death. But there are those who stand immortal, not through the grace of heaven, but through their own triumphs. I speak of this man. Formed from the shards of shattered angels, wielding the white sword of righteousness, standing as quiet as truth. Ladies and gentlemen, while we must all face the dark mountain of night, forsaken.
That's as much as YouTube let me play.
He's unbelievable.
It is and total magic.
We need, you know,
that guy
it's
is
the
awesome.
Only reason to have the thing go on, because it's not a competition anymore, is because of him. And we need more of him. Next time they do a Michael Beasley one-on-one with somebody, they should have this dude do the intros. I don't understand why an NBA arena hasn't hired him at that point. I know you would have to shorten up some of the intros, but just his voice alone, the way he says, man, I mean.
It's the whole vibe, the whole aura.
Does Nathan's have a contract with him that would prevent him from doing other intro-type events?
I think
because
he's the guy.
Because that dude right there. Is any buffer level intro is as good as any of them.
George Shea is the cat's name. He is the co-founder. So he's exclusive to the Major League Eating. He's also the contents announcer since 91, known for his dramatic and theatrical
intros. So he can't do anything else.
So he's tied.
He's exclusive.
They're trying to make it special so that when they own
the
4th of July.
They must pay him well. He must have a nice cut.
I think Nathan's, the deal they've got is so much money that they make it this his thing.
Bro, if I am MMA, if I am any, I don't know, if I'm boxing, I don't know why I would want him in my arena. I would want him in my ring if I could get him. They must be paying him so much, that he's fine staying exclusive, because that dude is the point I'm making. I'm glad you said that. That's the best thing about the hot dog contest is him.
This guy,
and he's as good as any of the Buffer brothers and all that. I would tell you that his stuff gives you the old goosebumps
for an eating competition. It is remarkable.
Dude, I would
look
love
to
hear him, and maybe boxing and MMA would say, "Well, no, we want ours more serious." He could tone it down and it not be as jokey, because the stuff has got some stuff meant to make you laugh.
Where darkness makes light,
bro. Some of that you keep.
Yeah,
it will add to it, dude. If I'm Dana White, that'd be a no brainer.
So funny.
I don't. Yeah, maybe is Dana White still calling the shots with them, or
I
did
think
he?
So
okay.
I think he's part
I don't
of
know
it.
Why,
but Buffer has got a lock on that thing.
But he is fantastic. I'm glad you mentioned him. Maybe we should give him, what's his name again? Shea?
Yeah.
Maybe we should give him at 1 o'clock. George O'Shea.
I think that's his name.
At 1 o'clock, maybe we should give him a respect burger. We're gonna do that.
George Shea.
George Shea. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Fantastic job that he does as host.
Yeah.
As announcer of the Nathan's hot dog eating contest. Won again by Joey Chestnut. We're gonna take a break. We got much more to do. The aforementioned respect burgers coming top of the hour. We'll talk about the couple of local products who are now Major League Baseball All-Stars. For one of them, it's his second time in 3 years. Could argue he should have been there. It should be three straight times for this gentleman. We'll do all that and more at 1 o'clock. Still got Jeff Calkins coming at 1:25. Much more to do. You're listening to Jason and John tonight.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
29 FM ESPN. Jeff Calkinson joining us 1:25 or so, top of the hour. We will do Respect Burgers. We've got a couple for a couple local products who are now Major League Baseball All-Stars. Hopefully you've heard that story. If you haven't already, good. Stick with us. 1 o'clock, we'll tell you who. One of them's a friend of the show. Been on several times, courtesy of my buddy John Martin, who should be back tomorrow. We'll get all his latest and hottest summer league takes. Should they shut Jalen Wells down? What should we do? We've talked a lot of NBA already, and we will rest of show and, again, resuming with John Martin tomorrow. Before we do all of that, though, I want to get off NBA for a second because I saw Mike Tannenbaum. He's a former NFL front office man. ESPN uses him as their front office insider. Sort of like the Bobby Marks of the who they use for NFL guys. And it's talking about pressure on quarterbacks this upcoming season. Brad, I don't know if you know it, but we are in the month of July, and we'll have a football game, an NFL game. It's preseason.
In this month.
In this month.
Yes.
Hall of Fame game is in July. Used to like to just say, you'd get training camp, but now we get the Hall of Fame game in July.
It's
unbelievable. Feels like it's coming earlier, even though it's like a desert to get to it.
It's a little earlier.
Talking about pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Know how much we love the NFL around here
mm-hmm.
on quarterbacks. And the name, he just seemed to not be able to get out of his mouth. It's Caleb Williams.
Mm.
Pressure.
Your quarterback.
My quarterback.
For your team.
Former number one pick. Jaden Daniels did play well last year. Went all the way to the NFC Championship game. Not sure if you saw it.
Played better than your quarterback.
No question. So I get the sentiment.
Yep.
He's also a second-year quarterback with a new coach. Right?
Yes.
After playing for an awfully poor one last year in Matt Eberflus, we saw it. They fired the offense coordinator. Eberflus was a joke, cost them games. We saw poor coaching decisions. Mm-hmm. We saw a man that had no plan, as opposed to a Commander's outfit that clearly had a plan. Cliff Kingsbury is the OC for Jaden Daniels. But my point is, we could see it. It wasn't all on Caleb Williams last year. The offensive line gave up most sacks in the league, and he still only threw six picks, threw for 3,500 yards. You throw in the 400 so rushing, it was near 4,000 total yards. Most a Bear quarterback had ever thrown for. But it's sort of looked at as failure year because in many ways, and failure may be too strong a word, but a lackluster year because of two things. Jaden Daniels right beside him.
Yep.
Right? You lost that game on the Hail Mary, by the way. You know, which was crazy. They go on and make an NFC Championship game. You don't. That added to it. And C.J. Stroud's first year where he's up over 4,000 yards right? His first season, you're getting compared to that, and people look at the season you have and say, boy, he really needs a bounce-back season, when frankly, you'd look at that year, again, 20 touchdowns, just six picks. There have been great rookie quarterbacks. Peyton Manning go on Hall of Fame career through 20-something picks his first year. Realize they're separate situations. My point, you could look at Caleb Williams and say,
there's something there.
That was a decent year for a guy who was playing clearly for a you know, incompetent head coach and everything else. Mm-hmm. So my point would be, you know, second year, yeah, there's pressure on Caleb Williams to be better because of the guys that were drafted around him because he's the number one pick. But if I'm looking around the league and I'm saying guys who are under the most pressure, I would say Trevor Lawrence is under a lot of pressure now that he's making $55 million a year and you wonder if he's ever going to take the next step. Tua Tagovailoa is a guy who's under a lot of pressure now, particularly for Miami with his contract situation, where if he can't prove that he can stay on the field, well, when at some point is Miami going to say, you know what, this money, we have to get off of it and go find our next quarterback? How about this? Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, any of those AFC quarterbacks who, frankly, have to get over the Patrick Mahomes hump, but then the Super Bowl hump. Those guys are now being paid the big bucks to do that, and yet, unlike Mahomes, haven't done it. So, but what I would tell you is that, yeah, Caleb has got pressure on him, but it's not nearly as great as the pressure that should be on these guys who have already got their extensions, Brad, who, when they got them, were highest paid guy until the next one was, and particularly the ones who haven't reached a Super Bowl yet. There's more pressure on Josh Allen. As much as we heap on him year after year, there's more pressure on him to get over the hump right now at his point in career and not be Dan Marino that never wins a Super Bowl, right? Or maybe Joe Burrow is a better comparison to Dan Marino, a guy who, hey, Dan got there early in his career. People thought he was going to make a ton of Super Bowls. He never made one again. We still call him one of the greatest quarterbacks, but in the end, you've got to have the Super Bowl. Those guys, much like Charles Barkley, Patrick Ewing, all those guys that didn't Stockton Malone that didn't win a title during those Jordan years, you're under a pressure to get this done in this Mahomes era. And frankly, with all due respect, you have to say now Jalen Hurts over on this Philly side, it's not guaranteed anymore that you get through in the AFC and you're automatically the Super Bowl winner. No, not when Jalen Hurts is sitting on the other side. And so, I mean, just look at Philly last year, and they could be in position to do it again. Jalen Hurts, I watched him. He's getting better. It's scary. He's played well in two Super Bowls now and is 1-1. My point is there's more pressure on there, and there should be, and that should be the conversation. There should be more pressure on these vets now that have been paid the big bucks, some of them making more than Patrick Mahomes, who haven't delivered. And I would have to put my guy Lamar Jackson, as great as it is to constantly be a contender and get Baltimore right there, he has not been able to push through yet. There's more pressure on those guys than there is on Caleb Williams.
Yeah, I heard this conversation this morning on Sportsmanlike on our station.
Canty was discussing it too.
Really getting into it with Freddie this morning about quarterbacks, because they were putting these things in levels, right, of who the best three were. And Canty set it up: bronze, silver, and gold, with gold being probably your Patrick Mahomes. But really, all these guys have pressure on themselves at the quarterback position, because if you look at some of the guys, and you mentioned the guys who got paid, like Brock Purdy got his big contract now. Like, there's some pressure.
More pressure on him.
Yeah.
I think the pressure goes up when you're getting that much. Especially if you're by Mahomes or making more than him, as some of these guys doing yearly. Yeah.
We love Brock Purdy at a discount price on a crappy deal where he's making $2.5 million a year. Do you like him at 45?
So long as you're making NFC Championship games and at some point getting us over the hump. To your point, the expectations go up once you're off
that
rookie deal.
It happened to Dak. Like, everybody was fine with Dak underperforming on a rookie deal until they gave him that big contract, and then suddenly Dak sucks.
You know? I was going to say Dak Prescott is one of those guys that should have a ton of pressure on him.
Yes.
Right? Especially now
it's time
that you've
to win.
You've got CeeDee, but you've also got Pickens having made the
move
with him.
Yep.
And so now you've got a guy on both sides. And at some point, and we've talked about humps, and that's been Dak Prescott's deal, is not being able to get over. But at some point, right, whether it's injury or whatever else, not winning
those key
ones in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Dak Prescott's a guy that hasn't shown he can break through yet. And that's what I'm saying. The rookie guys here, you know, this is a special time for a general manager, because you've got, and San Francisco was just here, mm-hmm. where you've got your quarterback on a rookie deal, and you can go spend all that money elsewhere and put quite a team around him, right?
Yeah.
That's what you want. The pressure goes up when you got to pay the quarterback, because then everybody else, the talent level goes down all the way around him. And so, yeah, once that quarterback gets paid, there is far more pressure. The Bears have got Caleb on for contract 4 more years. If they want him,
yes,
and frankly, there's, you know, while we all hope it pans out, you can elect not to pay him at the end of that and go decide to move on to your next guy. That would suck. We're all hoping that, you know, as Bears fans are hoping that you finally found the one, but you're locked in if you're Buffalo. Right. You're locked in if you're Baltimore. And you tell me, if a Super Bowl never came out of it, you know, I always thought that Green Bay didn't get enough out of Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre, the fact that they won 2 Super Bowls between both of those guys over 30 years, that there should have been more of them. If Burrow's not getting a Super Bowl, Lamar Jackson or Josh Allen go down to be Carl Malone and Charles Barkley and all that, if I'm a fan, I'm going to say we missed our opportunity. We didn't cash in. My quarterback couldn't get it done. That's why there's more pressure on those guys than a Caleb.
And Williams. If you're not paying them, you're paying somebody else. Like, you know what the Steelers are doing, you know, and they're using Aaron Rodgers. You've got a couple of discount receivers. That's why I'm really interested in what happens with the Steelers.
Did you see our man Calvin was throwing with Aaron?
Yes,
Aaron had the squad.
Yeah,
they had
him
together,
now.
And our man Calvin was with him.
He's throwing to him this summer.
I am. As much as, and I'd call it the Pittsburgh signed a deal with the NFL devil, because once you bring Aaron Rodgers on board, you give him your soul. He is now the soul. That said, I know how great he is, having watched him for years as a Chicago Bears fan, and I realize it's you know, he's not the same player. That said, how can you not love this for the Memphian, for Calvin Austin?
I think it's great.
Getting a chance to – now, again, he got a chance to play with Russell Wilson, mm-hmm. who we all look, okay, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl. He's one of the great Hall of Famer. There's an argument
good
to me that he is. There's a chance that Russell Wilson doesn't make the Hall of Famer. Aaron Rodgers is a legit Hall of Famer. And while he might be and is at the end of his career, to be able to have a chance to play with him and that knowledge that Calvin's going to be able to suck up in a year – that's still contract year for him.
Yes.
If I'm not mistaken, I haven't missed it, Pittsburgh has not paid him. We talked about it this offseason in front of the show, Calvin Austin, talk about how big a year this is for him, and you've got a guy, a Hall of Famer, who, oh, by the way, needs to find something other than DK Metcalf and Fryer move to throw to. They do have Jonnu Smith. They brought him in from the Dolphins, so you've got a second tight end that caught a bunch of touchdowns. He had 8. I think Freiermuth had 7.
Freiermuth, yeah. I mean, you've got a lot of weapons there.
But he needs a 2, and the Pittsburgh Steelers have basically said Calvin Austin is our 2.
Yes.
So there's a chance for him to have a great year with Aaron Rodgers, who's going to have to play dink and dunk. He's got to get it out there because he can't move,
no.
And they have no offensive line. So our man Calvin Austin is going to have, I think, hopefully a great season in a contract year. And like we said, whether it's Pittsburgh paying him or somebody else, hopefully it works out here in this year that he gets with a Hall of Famer. I hope Aaron stays healthy.
I do too.
For Calvin Austin.
I do too.
But I do think that Tomlin here is being
in listening
he is
to the,
playing a dangerous game, handing this thing
I've
over
listened
to Aaron
to you
Rodgers.
Talk about it, and I've listened to Gabe talk about it.
Lose a lot of respect.
Most of the people on the station agree in unison that they think this Aaron Rodgers thing is not going to work out. And I tend to think it might work. It might work. Because what are your other options? You know, you didn't draft a starting quarterback.
Well, your other options would be to tank.
Will Howard?
It would be to tank, right? That would be the other option. But you can't
they're
tell those
that.
Vets in a Pittsburgh Steeler locker room where there are real standards or have been, at least over the years, even pre-Mike Tomlin, you can't tell those vets this is what we're doing.
They hang their hat on making the playoffs every year.
But it's the other choice because they're not winning playoff games anymore post-Ben Roethlisberger.
You're losing to the Baltimore
so
Ravens.
If they were really going to fix it, you would say –
You got to get over the Ravens in that, you know, and that's tough.
So it's like you just keep stringing over one-year deals for Aaron Rodgers and telling yourself, well, if we win one playoff game, that's enough, or telling yourself you're truly a contender. It's kind of you're stuck in limbo, you know, in that spot that they're in. Mason Rudolph's not good enough, you know, and you're trying to convince yourself that Aaron Rodgers still is.
You know what they're probably telling themselves?
It's a bad spot.
They're telling themselves, and I know this is not how we necessarily feel, they're telling themselves they're going all in this year with Aaron Rodgers. That's not what I'm saying. That's what they've told themselves. Hey, we've got this. We've got a legendary quarterback. We've got all these weapons, including, you know, we've got a corner on defense that we just paid. DK Metcalf is coming in. We've got Calvin Austin for a D. I mean, that's what they're telling themselves.
I just wonder if they're looking at Tomlin organizationally is that this is your last chance after, again,
this has got to work.
You know, failing post Roethlisberger to find that guy and, more importantly, have a plan for that guy, because you could argue, you know, Pickett, that there was maybe there was something there or not. I would say they never really got Pickett any weapons, but he hasn't proven or looked like a starter since. So he just hasn't. So I'm not sure. My point being, I want him picking my next quarterback when I do get bad.
Right.
Because you didn't have a plan for Pickett. So for Mike Tomlin, this might be the end of the line if it all goes bad. We'll see. I tend to lean that they'll be solid to good. They just, how far can you go in a playoffs that's likely going to have, you know, Baltimore, Buffalo, KC all back? You're sort of limited in terms of your ceiling already.
But back to your initial point, I think I'm with you that the Bears can figure this out with the quarterback they
have. Well, here's the other part. You got a first-year coach in Ben Johnson, and sure, we're all expecting a
supposed to be awesome.
Genius and everything else, but it's also first year, which takes even more pressure, it would seem like, off Caleb, because you say, well, it's his first year. It's a transition year with a new coach. He doesn't have to go out there and be perfect, as Mike Tannenbaum seeming to suggest. There's way more pressure on some of these other veteran guys. Tua Tagovailoa, I'm telling you, you're Miami, and he can't stay on the field again. It's time to sort of reassess how they're built and everything else, because again, that's a situation where there's a lot of pressure on a guy. On him, it's just to stay on the field. Guys like Trevor Lawrence still to prove you're worthy of the number one pick. And I'd even tell you, Justin Herbert's got things to prove, although I like the direction they're pointed in now with Harbaugh.
What do you expect for Pete Carroll now being reunited with Geno Smith in Las Vegas?
Instant energy that doesn't get you anywhere in the long term.
Mediocre.
You know, they need it.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable, because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 50% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.